As we quieten our minds and asking God to just quieten our hearts, let's just thank God for this day that He's given us today. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the love, the mercy. We thank you for touching us, Father, because the song is written, Lord, if you wouldn't have touched us, we would be very lonely. And if it wasn't for your love, Father, we would be completely lost. So, Father, thank you for your touch. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the way that you provide for us each and every day. Thank you, Father, that you keep a shield of protection about us and around us. And Father, in this life that we live, there's a lot of death and mourning and suffering going on, Lord God, but you brought us into another day to praise your holy name. So here we are, Father, thanking you for all that you've done and all you continue to do in the lives of all of us that are on this call and all that are listening at a later time, that your provisions are more than we could ever ask for. Your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. We thank you, Jesus, that you provided a way in the wilderness, that, Lord, we had no way of coming to you. But because of what you've done, Jesus, your sacrifice, and what the Father did by raising you from the dead on that third day, we have eternal life with you. We have a joy, unspeakable joy, that only you have given to us that we don't deserve. So we say, thank you, Father. Praise you for your faithfulness and your mercy and your kindness. Praise you, Father, for the provisions that you've made, not only for us, but for our loved ones. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this service today. We ask that you'd please come on in, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Remove all obstacles. Remove all blockages. Remove all the stuff that has happened in our lives within the last second, Lord, less than the last week. Father, we ask that you'd let our hearts and our minds be tuned to you and your word today, that we would receive what you have for us to receive, that we would live a life that would bring glory and honor to you. So, Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you please forgive us of our sins. We repent of all the unrighteousness, Father. And we ask, Father, that your will be done today as we go through and come to your throne of grace and mercy, that, Lord, you would speak in a way that only you can, that you would just give us ears to hear what you want us to hear and a heart to do what we need to do to honor and to glorify you throughout this day and whatever number of days you may give us in the future. Lord, we bless you and we praise you. Bless Jeanette as she brings forth your word, Lord God. Let your word truly just fill her soul as she delivers it, Father. Oh, Lord, let the anointing of your Holy Spirit take over her mind, her heart, her soul, and her spirit, Lord, that it will come like it says, the tongue of fires, as we're reading in the book of Acts, that, Lord, it would fall on all of us, Lord God, and we would be so refreshed and so renewed and so energized, Father, because it's your Holy Spirit, not our will, not our thoughts, not our energy. It will be from you, Father. So have your way today in this service. Have your way, Father. We're asking in the name of Jesus. And we're asking that you would touch Exandria as she reads your word. Bless her, Father, for her faithfulness. Bless her, Father, for her willingness. Bless her, Father, for the commitment to you and you alone. Bless her and bless all that is around her, Father. Let your Holy Spirit continue to guide her and lead her in the wilderness of where she is today, Father. Let that light shine not only through Exandria, but all that are on this call. Lord, let us be what you want us to be, Father. We're asking in the name of Jesus, and we're thanking you for it, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And we ask for those that will call in, that, Lord, your anointing will fall on them as they dial in. And, Lord, they will be ready to hear what you have for them to hear. We thank you, and we bless you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And, Lord, for Tammy's family that are grieving, day from sudden loss, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
These things come like a thief in the night, and they snatch away life, Lord. And people right now, Lord, that we keep just running into one after another that don't make it to the next day.
Yes, Lord.
So I'm asking you, Lord, right now, comfort the hearts, Lord. Set up a barrier against over-grieving because it can be overwhelming, take us over, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, let it be a wake-up call to those who need it to be.
Yes, Lord.
That their ways would be changed and that they would be mindful that their life is not promised.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Break every stronghold that's in that line of the family, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Break it, Lord.
Please, Father.
That they will not be able to take one more life.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Their lives would become dead as they become alive in you and live a completely different life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, good morning. Who just joined us?
Good morning, Jay. It's Fran. I was on mute. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Good morning,
morning
Fran.
All right, we are in Acts chapter 4. We're starting at the first verse. We're going to do a slight recap. Last week was the lame man that was healed at the Gate Beautiful and how God used his life of being crippled as a testimony. Oh, did I say to us today?
Yes.
We're still reading about it. It's still blessing our lives. The story is still alive. Because he's got a living word. And this was set up in how we're part of a tapestry or a puzzle. And in that puzzle, each person completes their part of the picture. We are not the whole picture.
Amen.
A lot of times we get a little bit too self-absorbed, yeah, and we think it's all about us when it's really the way God designed this, it's that we would be part of a bigger picture.
Yeah. Yes.
So we're connected, yes, to another, and in that, some of us have a role of suffering. Some of us have another role of, you know, lifting up. Some of us, we have all kinds of different roles that God has called us to play. You say, why are some people born poor?
Hmm.
Why are some people born rich? Everybody has a different role, or they're a different piece in the larger puzzle. So this lame man was healed, and he had been crippled for 40 years, and in that 40 years, everyone knew he was crippled. So there would be no question as to whether or not this man was really crippled. Was this one of those Jim Jones types of healings where he wasn't crippled to begin with?
Yes.
But Lord made sure that this man's role, and then he was healed, and Peter and John, as the people tried to give them glory, they immediately redirect and gave it right back to God where it belongs.
Yes.
You're going to see a pattern with Peter and John. As people come in and want to pat you on the back or shake your hand and they're in awe of you, learn how to redirect that. It's God. It's God.
Amen. Amen.
It's God.
Amen.
And I talked about last week a little how some of us, we choose to just remove ourselves from the situation because sometimes it's too many people, it's too hard to just scream, it's God. So just as the angels do, they make sure that the glory goes to the Creator.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to start on the fourth chapter, chapter 1.
Okay. Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. Sure.
1 second.
Sure.
I want to bring something here because it's very important. You had Sadducees and you had Pharisees, and the Sadducees did not believe in the raising of the dead. Or the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that it's a very simple thing. They did not believe in resurrection. Now, was that a salvation issue prior to Jesus?
No.
No, it's not an issue of salvation, whether or not they believed that people were, you know, resurrected or not. Of course, now it is, because if you can't believe Jesus was raised from the dead, you're going nowhere. You have to believe the whole picture.
Amen.
That he came from heaven to earth, Son of God, that he died and he rose again. Mm-hmm. But these Sadducees understand what they are saying. They were disturbed. They were upset. They were rattled. Because anytime we're coming up against somebody's belief system, don't be callous to the fact that they already believe something. Now, are we going to come in there and make a difference? And make, if the Lord is leading you to minister there, and their heart is open, but understand you are coming up against the belief system. Say, for example, you're coming, a person is steeped in Jehovah Witnesses. Let's say that. And they strongly believe certain things. You know, talk to God about that. Because people, when they have a strong belief, it's insulting for someone to come up and tell you something different. Amen. And if you really believe, like these were devout, the Sadducees, they're devout in their belief, as was Paul devout in his belief, devout enough to, you know, hold the coats while they were stoning Stephen. So it's not that they're just coming at these apostles because they, you know, just want to shut them down. They want to shut them down because they believe they're teaching something that's totally against their belief system. So let's be aware of that when we judge them. Okay, verse 3. We're in Acts, the 4th chapter. We're on verse 3, or 2, I think.
Yeah, you're correct, too. Being greatly disturbed, if they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Continue.
5,000. You've got 12 apostles, and now we've got 5,000 people that are have become believers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can see, it's a wonderful thing, but I can feel the, if suddenly, this is about the 45, 50 days maybe, or at most after the resurrection of, or the ascension of Jesus, and all of a sudden, you've got 12 people that are going to try and teach and establish a church. The church, and you got 5,000 people to navigate through. Imagine that. Just imagine that.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
We talk about that. Most of the people on this call are heading for ministries, and you think about, well, I want my ministry to grow. It's a challenge to handle 10 people.
Mm.
Imagine. Because these 5,000 people all have questions. They've accepted Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah, but you got to know there's a lot of questions involved as to where do we go from here. Okay.
Okay.
Keep going.
Verse 5, yes. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you in whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Come on, preach it. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among the men by which we must be saved. Amen. Amen. Woo-wee. That was
so. What are we seeing here as example? It seems to me that no matter what seems to be going on, whether it's the rush of a mighty wind and tongues, cloven tongues above each person's head and them speaking in other languages, or whether it's a man healed, or whether it is an arrest, it seems that every opportunity that Peter can get to tell what happened, he's telling it. Mm-hmm. He makes every opportunity that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Wow. What an example. What an example. You say, wow, looks like so-and-so stubbed their toe. And that's what was going to happen because Jesus of Nazareth was, that's how Peter is doing this.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't spare any details. He throws in there, whom you crucified.
Yes.
Be mindful.
Now, did he do that earlier? Because I remember reading this just earlier in Acts. And he was showing grace to the people. Mm-hmm. That even though you guys crucified him, it's okay. You didn't know any better. Wow.
Yes.
What an example to us, those who are being called into positions of spreading the gospel. Now, I'm going to say that because I want to bring this up. All of us are called to spread the gospel.
Uh-huh.
But there are people who their calling is to spread the gospel. In other words, God is taking them and setting them apart for that purpose and that purpose, pretty much alone.
Yes.
Mm. The rest of us, we get to just live our normal lives and minister to people along the way. And there's nothing wrong with that because not everybody is called into that level of the calling.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter, no doubt. So that's all that's on his mind all the time. You know, people that are filled with the Spirit that way, that's all that's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much every conversation rolls back around to God, as I've been told many times. You know, every conversation eventually ends in preaching. Oops. But you can't help it when that's your calling.
Mm-hmm.
And God is calling people on call right now for that type of calling, whether it's pastoring, evangelism, whatever it is. Okay.
All right, verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what he had done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Ooh, praise be to God. I'm getting ooh, pimples. Oh, man, that's so beautiful. Okay. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Yes?
Did we read verse 13?
Oh, I don't think so.
That whole section.
We're on 24. Okay, but I can back up to 13.
Yes.
No problem. 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And
let's stop right there.
Sure.
When people realized or perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. Mm-hmm. I want to say to everyone on this call, and most of the people on this call are educated. I don't think anybody isn't that's on this call. But I want to say, God doesn't need your education.
Amen.
He doesn't need that. He's speaking through Galileans, for crying out loud. And Galileans are just, you know, fishermen, no real education, no formal education, nothing. And these people are speaking boldly because why? What did it say in verse 8? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't say this loud enough. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is educated.
Hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is educated.
Yes, it is.
He's created all things. He knows all things. He is all things.
He is the great educator.
Yeah.
So any one of you that might doubt your capabilities because you feel like I'm not smart enough, I'm not articulate enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not. I haven't been trained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy Spirit, I already trained.
Mm-hmm.
He's well trained. Mm-hmm. He's been in the presence of the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. It's a part of them that they've imparted to you. They know everything. So don't worry about opening your mouth and not knowing. All the time things will come out of your mouth that's news to you.
Mm-hmm.
You learned it the moment you were saying it.
Yes.
Just be bold. Don't be afraid. Okay, keep going. Finish that verse.
Okay. Indicated. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. should I continue to 14 and I'll go through 14.
Yes.
And seeing the men who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, really, let us severely threaten them, and that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Like, really? I mean, so they called them and commanded them to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed.
Amen.
And being,
amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen. So, you are told that it is in your best interest to not talk about, well, you know what? You can talk about religion. Just leave Jesus' name out of it. I don't usually talk about stuff that I don't know for sure, but this is what came out some years ago, was that for Tyler Perry to be able to continue on a major network, and he was doing the show, The Browns, he had to agree not to make it at all about Jesus. That the worship of Jesus or Jesus could not be mentioned. Major network, not talk about Jesus. Major network, not talk. So guess which way he went?
Not talk about Jesus.
Not talk about Jesus. lot of us are going to be faced with these kind of questions in the day and the time that we're living in. Mm-hmm. These kind of challenges, I should say, these kind of trials. Mm-hmm. As we go further into the very last days, right now the church is exploding, and you're going to see what happens. So, you know, 5,000, they're up to that fast. But as we go into the final days, there's going to be many whose heart will wax cold, mm-hmm. says the Lord. Mm-hmm. And they will fall away from the church. Mm-hmm. And the church, I'm going to just put it this way, is receiving a very bad rap. What was brought in through, the evangelical movement, and then the evangelical movement took the sheet off, and all of a sudden, they're endorsing all kinds of racism and everything else. Mm-hmm. Well, the evangelical movement sucked in many, many churches, mm-hmm. many non-denominational churches that didn't want to get caught up in politics and in the things that some of the denominations do. And they said, we're just going to be independent. We're going to start a church. We're going to be non-denominational. And we're going to just teach God's word. But the problem was something came up. That problem was money.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. They went to a school. They started their school in a gym. Mm-hmm. They moved from a gym to a storefront. Mm-hmm. And after moving to a storefront, they were outgrowing the storefront. And they need a building. Or they'd like to have a building. A building of their own, a nice, big, beautiful building, a building that can house all of their long-term vision. Mm-hmm. And that is where a lot of the churches ended up caught up in the evangelical movement, because the evangelicals offered all of these small churches the ability to take out loans at a very small interest rate. Mm-hmm. They just had to tap. Oh, I'm sorry, one little thing. They just had to tap. Evangelical onto their non-denominational status. Mm-hmm. So all these churches, lots of churches got sucked into this because they couldn't trust God for the money. Mm-hmm. They needed the money. Mm-hmm. They needed the building. They need it. Mm-hmm. And God, sometimes, I'm here as a witness, takes too long for our agenda.
Yeah. Say that.
And we don't even realize it's our agenda because it's a passion that he put in your heart. But part of that is learning to wait for him or be still. Mm-hmm. Wait Amen. For him. Most people feel when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. They just say, wait, there's a door. I know it's a little bit off course. That's okay. Not really okay, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. And anyway, the evangelicals, they promised that they weren't going to interfere with the services, that we were going to be able to go on as normal. No interference from this status that we, okay, that was the promise. Well, after you're knee deep, you're in debt, your church has got to get this thing paid off. The evangelicals began to show who they really were. Oh, no, I'm not going to get into, you know, Trumpism or any of that. I'm not going to get into the political stuff that came out just recently. I'm going to talk about the other stuff they came up with. They started sending their people into the churches, altering the service. For example, a church that I'm very, very familiar with, all of a sudden, they weren't allowed to do altar calls anymore.
Oh.
They said, we don't need to do altar calls. Matter of fact, as a movement, we've decided we're not going to do altar calls because actually, you know, this public confession thing, it just makes it a little uncomfortable for people. But you can put a card in the back of the seat in front of you, and you can use that. And if they felt like they were moved by the Spirit of God, or whatever you call it, if they were moved by the Spirit of God, they can fill out the card, and somebody will call them sometime during the week. Yeah. You mean when the anointing has passed?
Yeah. Oh.
Mm. That was huge.
I want you to know that the adversary works that way. Remember, we talked about this probably 2 years ago. We talked about how that the tree grew and all these different birds began to nest in it. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that in that parable that he was giving, he was talking about how fast the church was going to grow. And then the birds began to nest in it. He wasn't saying, oh, what a great dream thing, because now it offers shelter for birds. No, he was saying that foreign, that's not part of, is going to come in and begin to infiltrate. Mm-hmm. And that's what began to happen. That's what we're going to see as this church is trying to build, is exactly what's happened. Now, we're in the days where the final blow came. And the final blow, in my opinion, came through the evangelical movement. We knew that there was going to be a world church. We knew that the church was going to be infiltrated, but we didn't think infiltrated. We thought that Satan was dumb enough to just raise up a big church and say, I am the world church and I'm Satan. Come to us instead. No, people were not that gullible. And Satan's not an idiot. Don't take your adversary lightly.
Amen.
So instead, he came and lodged himself into the church. Next thing you know, we don't have altar calls anymore. And then it started coming down what you were supposed to preach about each week.
Mm-hmm.
Or a
lesson.
Yeah, exactly. They're sending down what you're supposed to preach about when they weren't supposed to be interfering with your church at all.
Mm-hmm.
You see what happened?
Yeah.
So then, well, then the whole thing blows up and people find out that they're supporting political views that they absolutely don't support,
mm-hmm.
and racism.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? People say, whoa, didn't know this was an evangelical church. I thought it was non-denominational. Sure was when I joined it, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then people just start falling away. The Lord says that in the last days there'll be a great falling away.
Yeah.
People's hearts will be waxing cold. In other words, I don't want to hear this anymore. I don't need this anymore. How many people have I talked to that say, I just don't find the church relevant?
Yes,
Lord. Relevant?
Huh.
Wow.
Huh.
Mm. So here we are. Peter is saying, should we listen to man or should we listen to God?
Mm-hmm.
How many of us on this call today are willing to pay a price to not do what you're told by man if it's in conflict with God?
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
People say you can't talk about this, you can't do that, you better not, you might sound this, that, and the other, and are you willing to just shut down and shut up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this because I think I need to make it clear. These are apostles.
Mm-hmm.
These are apostles. Apostles are called to such an order that they're willing to take whatever is going to come dishing down.
Mm-hmm.
They're called to that order. And they can't even help it. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They cannot even help it. These are apostles. Later on, we're going to get into some of the teachings of Paul. And he says, when in Rome, be like Romans. Why is he saying that? He's saying because many Christians worked in the Roman temples.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked in the palaces of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is saying, don't be an idiot. Don't walk through the palace and start screaming Jesus. You might not make it.
Right.
You might not make it to the next.
Amen.
Just envision that.
Do you see the balance here in this? I want to make sure this message remains balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right.
So you're in a job, and when you were hired, they said, we keep religion out of our mouth in this job, and we don't talk about people's sexuality, and we don't do this, we don't do that, and these are the rules, and this is what you signed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean you can't minister on your job?
No.
Start out by being a living testimony.
Amen.
And they will be drawn to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Don't come in there, you know, waving your Bible all around and preaching. Right. Because you already agreed not to do that when they gave you the job.
Yes.
If you felt like you're supposed to be waving your Bible around and preaching, then you shouldn't have taken the job.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's balance. When we are in certain environments and you're not, you know, the apostles, most of them were not holding down jobs. As a matter of fact, I don't know any of them that did, but Paul, who continued to try to build tents so he wouldn't be a burden on the church.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Peter established a church from where he lived, and different ones were doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the freedom to be that bold. Okay. And if you're called, that's what you're going to do, and you've already weighed the price. I know that when I was ordained, I had to agree, which wasn't even a question for me. Would I pay the ultimate price to walk this walk? My answer, of course. What are you going to take from me, my life? Is that it? That's it? That's all? No, it wasn't anything to me because that was my calling. If it is not your calling, use wisdom. Use wisdom. Okay.
Yes. Amen. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Continue. Talking about here in Acts, we have one example after another.
Yeah. Yes.
Did they go? What did they do? They went to God.
Mm-hmm.
What
yes.
did they ask for?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What does that tell you that you're experiencing?
Mm-hmm.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. They wouldn't have asked to be bold if they were not experiencing some trepidation and some fear.
Right.
Instead of backing down, they just ask the Lord, help us. Mm-hmm. Help us to be bold. Help us to not be pushed into intimidation.
Yes.
What a powerful thing. And then the Lord, because this is the beginning of the church, and I'm not saying only, but I'm just saying, so he shakes the place where they're praying. What did that
yeah.
do?
Encourage you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He gives us a sign sometimes. He gives us a wonder because we need it, because it'll strengthen us. It'll empower
yeah.
us. We'll say, I know. The God that can shake the building that I'm in right now is going to take care of us through spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that that eliminated any fear that they had.
Yeah.
And here comes the boldness. The boldness is coming. Keep going.
Verse 23. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common.
Hold on. Sure. I'm just sorry to cut you. But one thing that I don't want to miss here is when they went to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a whole bunch of me's and I's in there?
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. You see any me's and I's there?
Nope. None at all.
They went to the Heavenly Father on behalf of their commission to bring the gospel. They're reminding him of what happened. So that they can bring the gospel. Look at where their heart is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take a look at that because our prayers don't sound too much like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help me bring the gospel. When was the last time you prayed that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was significant too in 24 where it says that so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. It's not each one alone. It was
praying together.
Together. And that mm-hmm. they went back to their companions immediately. So that's, I think, something for us to remember, too.
Absolutely. Now, with one accord doesn't mean that they had a handout and on three, everybody reads. No, it means that... I don't know why I brought that up, but I'm just saying.
Me neither.
Because there's churches that absolutely operate that way.
Mm-hmm.
They have prayers that you're supposed to say all in unison.
Another version says their voices together.
Voices together, right.
So what I'm
getting at is we're not talking about in one accord as in right. all people. Saying the same thing. We're talking about mm-hmm. that all people are on the same page,
mm-hmm.
that yeah. their hearts are all coming to the Lord on this matter.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we are praying in groups, your mind's mm-hmm. a million miles away till it's your turn to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops!
Mm-hmm.
How is that praying in one accord?
Right.
Two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, but you're not gathered in his name if your brain is out the window till it's your turn to pray.
Mm-hmm.
One accord means that we are of one purpose in heart. Okay.
Verse 33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of the lands or houses sold to them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. Ooh, they're tithing like crazy. That's awesome. And Jose, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and land it at the apostles' feet. Amen.
Keep going.
To follow?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
Then, stop right there.
Then,
stop right there for a second.
Busted. You're so busted.
It's
like he looked right through him. What are you doing?
So it's the Thyra. They want to be part of this growing movement.
Right. Wrong reasons.
They're not really ready to go all in. Do you know anybody mm-hmm. like that?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
sometimes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be part. You know that this is real. You're excited about it. But you're not ready. Mm-hmm. You're not ready. You're just not sure mm-hmm. about this, and you're not ready to be all in. But you want the benefits mm-hmm. of appearing to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You see this in churches all the time. You see people who want to rise up to deaconhood or elderhood or whatever hood. Mm-hmm. But they're not sold out. They're still doing all kinds of mayhem on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But they like the position. They like to be numbered with the people that are sold out for God. They like that. They like the position. They like being a part of.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people join churches. They'll be in your choirs. They'll be in your, you know, groups and leading this and leading that. And their life is in shambles
mm-hmm.
because they never really are all in.
Mm-hmm.
They're not willing to make those kind of corrections. They don't really, we're not going to take it too far. I've had people tell me, well, I believe in God and all that, but I don't believe in taking it too far.
Mm.
Taking it too far. How could you take your faith too far?
Hmm.
How is that even possible? So Ananias and Sapphira, they conspire together to say, we sold the house for $100,000 when they really sold it for $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to come and lay it at the apostles' feet with everybody else. See? But it wasn't true. I'm going to give one warning again.
Mm.
Those of you who do not take your walk seriously, and I don't think there's too many of those on this call anyway. I don't think so. I don't believe that there's anybody on this call that doesn't take their walk seriously. But I'm going to say this anyway, because you may know people, and this may, in your ministry, it may help somebody else not end up in the situation that we're going to see in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Help people understand that if they are lying to a spirit-filled child of God, they better be careful.
Amen.
They better be careful, because you don't know when that is going to be accounted as lying to the spirit or lying to the person.
Ooh-wee, right
they
there.
Have known the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just going to let everybody know. How could they have known that this was charge was going to be accounted as lying to the Spirit of God? Well, you don't
mm-hmm.
know. So don't be quick to lie to anybody. You shouldn't be lying in the first place,
mm-hmm.
but you sure shouldn't be lying to somebody filled with God's Spirit. And I can't tell you how many times in my life somebody has lied to me, and I'm sitting there looking right at them
right.
because the Holy Spirit is witnessing to me while they're telling me the lie.
Mm. Yes, hallelujah.
And thank
hallelujah.
God for
hallelujah.
His grace.
Yes.
Because there were a lot of people that would have dropped dead right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. But thank God for his grace.
Yes, thank you.
But don't underestimate. Remember, this that's taking place, a lot of times people want to take and categorize things and say, well, that's Old Testament. God's not judgmental like that anymore. God is love. God's in Jesus. Okay, this is after Jesus resurrected, hon.
Yeah.
This is something that can happen anytime. So people that are quick to lie should be very, very careful, because let's keep going and see what happens.
Absolutely. Verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door." Oh, my goodness. "And they will carry you out." Then immediately, she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Amen.
Amen. Let's make sure, children of the living God, that we are very sincere.
Yes, sir.
And I think what was being taught to the church that very day is don't play with God and don't play with his people.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yes.
The Lord has exercised great grace and mercy to people and all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But don't take it for granted, because at any minute, any circumstance, any situation, you can be lying to somebody that is spirit-filled and the Lord hold the account that you've lied to his spirit.
Mm.
I tell you right now, Peter did not know that that was coming. I doubt that very, very seriously.
Mm. Yes.
So let's be sincere about our yeses and our noes.
Amen.
Let's be sincere about what we're willing to do and not willing to do. As Peter said, it didn't matter that you weren't there yet, that you weren't all in yet. That was okay. Was it not your property? You didn't have to give it to us if you didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to give it to us in part, that was fine too.
Mm-hmm.
But don't lie about it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Don't lie about it.
Yeah.
You're looking at how much power the Holy Spirit actually has. And what I'm seeing is how much of it has been harnessed because of God's grace.
Yes, amen to that.
He's showing a lot of grace and he's showing a lot of mercy. But let's not take that for granted.
Amen.
Now we're going to close there. What a beautiful thing. All of these people came. They were so devoted and they were so sold out that they were willing to put it all in a pot so that nobody would do without.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's a beautiful thing. Look at how the Holy Spirit, look at the heart of the Spirit of God in the beginning, in the pour down, in the freshness of the beginning of the church. Look at the heart of God, because we have a hard time in our laps of luxury or our own personal comfort, you know, caring about one another. But so far, these people, they said, "You have all I have, we'll all be taken care of if we put all of what we have together." Huh, I wonder if that could have offset, if there had been more generosity. I wonder if some of these churches that got swallowed up in the evangelical movement might not have gotten swallowed up because people were being gracious and generous to build the church.
Yes, yes.
Cutting out a lot of the foolishness in their life and just bringing it to the church. Mm-hmm. Sure, I still need a roof over my head, my kids, school, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But that's not what a lot of your money goes to. Your money goes to foolishness.
Yeah.
And maybe had we had more of a heart of what was going on in Acts, the church would have been built.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't have had to, you know, go to the evangelicals for money, go to the devil for money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, I said it. Go to the devil for money.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. Any comments or questions?
What a beautiful reminder.
Yes.
That was beautiful. What a beautiful reminder. I think the church need to hear this chapter and verse, you know, every other month, just to remind them.
Because I'm employed by the House of Lies, among other things. And what you just explained, I witnessed truly on a regular basis. Holy Spirit hasn't told me what to do with it yet, but he has definitely given me discernment of that lying spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't judge, though. I don't judge, you know, but it's evident.
I think it was a good lesson for us, and to keep in mind when we're, if we join churches or get involved in churches, because the Holy Spirit brought to my mind, I was in a church for 16 years, and I seen a change, and it got to the point where it just seemed, you know, dead. And thinking of what, you know, watching that, there was a point where it was non-denominational, but they affiliated with Nazarene Church.
Uh-huh.
And when they needed money, this church needed money for a bigger building, they got, and I remember they voted on it and everything, percent, they got it from the Nazarene Church, and that's when the change happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the corruption, pastors kept leaving, it was just, and it ended up, especially during COVID, it like crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
The whole church just crumbled. It was such a good, strong church. The pastor was just really relevant, but then he started doing that same thing. He was teaching these sermons that he had gotten from them, and he followed their little precepts, and the whole time he didn't know. And I didn't know what was going on, and I just got so sucked up in serving, that I feel like I spent, like I wasted a lot of years of my life being in that dead church or that dysfunctional church. So that's just something for people to remember.
Amen.
But you know, I wanted to say something too.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to piggyback what she just said. You know, I don't think those were wasted times. I think you gained a lot of wisdom, one in which you shared with us just now. But also we have to remember, too, Ms. Jeanette taught us long ago that when we start walking in our ministry and walking in our calling, that we're going to need other spirit-filled Christians, brothers and sisters around us to guard, keep us lifted, and, you know, keep us filled with the Spirit to protect us from those kind of falls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here you are, we talk about once a great man, and you wonder, you know, where was his, I call them gatekeepers, but no, you know, when you start climbing up that ladder, she's told us a lot of, we must be covered, you know, and so his covering walked away, and what a shame, what a shame. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, amen.
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 Have anything else?
You were going to ask something, Jeanette?
Pardon me?
I said, I think you were going to add something before I rudely interrupted. I'm sorry.
You probably covered it because I don't remember now. No problem.
Okay.
Yeah, there's all kinds of birds that put their nest in the tree.
Mm. Yes. Amen.
But as you're calling, and the Holy Spirit is walking in you, and you begin to discern, you know, make your decisions accordingly.
Mom.
Again, I said last week, does that mean you leave? Oh, no, that's why I said in books. No. Anyway, sorry. No. Doesn't necessarily mean that you run when you run into these situations, but at least start to know how to pray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And recognize if you're in Rome or if you're, you know, in the upper room.
Amen. Oh,
a lot of
amen.
The ministry, but it's really Rome.
Right. Mm.
Okay. Let's close in prayer. Tammy, would you close us?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just we thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for being here with us, being in one accord, Lord, for everyone that's on this call. Lord, we thank you for this word. We ask you just to bury it deep in our hearts and help us to just walk with our eyes fixed on you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, as we get closer to this time, Lord, where the end is coming, Lord, but you're calling us up. You're raising up your people, Lord, to reach all the ones that are falling away, Lord.
we want to reach as many as we can because that's what your heart is, your desire, Lord. You could come today, you could come tomorrow, but you still want to reach those who have fallen astray, Lord. So equip us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Everyone on this call, Lord, in this group, Lord, those that are further down the road and those that have just stepped on the road with us, Lord God, strengthen us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bring us, thank you, Lord. Strengthen us in one accord, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just see everyone holding hands together right now, Lord. A mighty wall, Lord, that's a building, Lord, a protection around us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I just see you in the center, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes. Hallelujah. Strengthen everyone, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. I ask you just to cover everyone, Lord, those who are here today and those who will listen and those who continue to get words and gain wisdom and knowledge, Lord, from this ministry. We thank you. We know that your hand is here. We know that you're with all of us, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, to protect each and every one of us as we go out this day, this week, for traveling mercies, for strength, Lord, for wisdom. Come against the enemy, Lord, when he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Have a blessed day. Bless Tammy to you and your family.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.